Hey, this is Dominic Enyart, host of The Dominic Enyart Show. Today on Bob Enyart Live, we are going back and re-airing a broadcast classic. This was my father and predecessor, Bob Enyart, debating Ed Taylor, pastor of Calvary Chapel Church in Aurora. And fun story about this, I actually went for a few months. I was attending Calvary Chapel in Aurora. And this was years after my father had debated the pastor of this church, and I didn't know that they had debated. So in 2007, Bob Enyart debated Ed Taylor on open theism. And then about 10 years later, in 2017, I went to his church for a few months with a friend who was inviting me. And it was, I enjoyed the church, but after a certain point, I had to stop going to the church because I remember after one sermon, he was doing a sermon on Leviticus. And at the end of the sermon, he said, "All right, everybody, give yourself a round of applause. Everyone start clapping." And everyone started clapping. I started clapping because of peer pressure. I didn't know what was going on. But he said, "Congratulations, you now have one chapter of the Old Testament under your belt." And I was floored. I thought that was terrible. I know Ed Taylor loves the Lord, but I was shocked. So anyways, here is Bob Enyart with Ed Taylor.
Warning, there's truth ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Boy, am I excited. Tomorrow night, there is a dinner for our seminar in Indianapolis, and that'll be just great. That's at the Adams Mark Hotel. And then all day Saturday, the seminar is on open theism, and another pastor in town, Pastor Ed Taylor of Calvary Chapel Aurora, a woman listened to this show where we talked about open theism, and Pastor Ed, he's a neat pastor of a neat church, but boy, we got a 10-second clip where he said something a little rough. Can we hear that clip?
I'll walk you through it.
Go ahead.
Let me start you from the beginning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The person you were listening to on the radio today, never listen to them again.
Well, I turned it off.
Good for you.
That'd be me, Bob Enyart, Pastor Bob Enyart. Hey. Come on, never listen again. Now, here's another clip from Ed Taylor on open theism.
That's one of the most damaging heresies that has ever... It's taken the seminaries by storm, and now whoever you're listening to on the radio is teaching this junk on the radio, and it's absolute foolishness, and it's unbiblical.
Okay, now that's all pretty harsh. So here's what we thought. We thought I'd call in, and I'm not going to try to do shameless promotion. I'm not going to try to plug Bob Enyart Live. I'm just going to call in as Bob from Arvada. So that's what we did. I called in, and I got through and said about 10 words, and KRKS, their board operator, accidentally hung up on me. And so we called back and got right back through, and the board op apologized profusely and said, "We'll put Bob right back on." So I'd like you to hear now my conversation with Pastor Ed Taylor. And let's go from never listen, damaging heresy, absolute junk, foolishness, unbiblical, and see when you listen, whether or not the position that I'm promoting sounds unbiblical, or does it sound like it is scriptural and it glorifies God? Let's, and I might say stop the tape during it. It's about 7.5 minutes long. So let's hear it.
35. Bob, welcome back.
Hi, thank you so much, Pastor Ed.
This is Bob Enyart, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. How are you doing?
Very good. How are you?
Good.
What can I do for you?
Ed, I just used my show to plug your show, and Gino Geraci is speaking at the March for Life this Saturday at the Capitol.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, so we're excited about that.
That's cool. What can I do for you?
I heard the caller, you guys were talking about the future and whether the future is settled or open.
The open theistic argument, yes.
Right, exactly, that the future is open and that God, in fact, has the power, the ability to change the future. For example, that God, if he wants to, he could write a new song. that God is creative, that God could do something creative. God is the one who designed the Garden of Eden, right?
Sure.
And today, if God wants to, we talk about the future, and we say it's comforting to think that the future is totally settled, but God exists also. And so God, he has the ability and the power to do new things. So I don't think it's heresy to say that God is a creative God, that he still is creative, and that he could write a new song, he could do a new thing.
Well, it all depends on what direction you go, Bob.
Yeah.
If you come from the direction of not the creative power of God, but the lack of knowledge from God, that he lacks knowledge that he's yet to gain, and he waits for our activity to gain that knowledge, which is the more popular open theistic argument?
Well, I hold the very popular open theist position, but forget about mankind for a moment. Think about just God. From eternity past, God is creative. It's not that the future was always settled. God decided to create. He decided how he would design a monarch butterfly. He decided to save us.
Well, let's pause there for a second, Bob.
Yeah.
He decided to create the monarch butterfly. Could he then decide to make the monarch butterfly something different, or is that fixed?
If God wanted to, he could design another kind of butterfly for the new Earth.
No, I agree, but in
the
space and time continuum that we live in today,
yeah.
Will the monarch butterfly always be a monarch butterfly, or would God speak from heaven and change?
I imagine it will always be, but when he
right.
creates a new heaven and a new earth,
sure.
he's still the creative God.
Sure.
It's not as though the future is utterly settled and he's trapped because he's creative.
I would fully agree with you.
Okay, good. So then let me ask you, let's say God decides to write a new song. God has the ability to affect the future. Like our prayers, the Bible teaches that our prayers can touch the heart of God and could even move his hand.
Well, before we get to prayers, let's talk about this. Would it be possible for God to write new theology?
Well, theology is a statement of reality. So God's not going to change the truth. Right? When Jesus Christ, when he suffered for us like he did, that was a change, right? Many Christians are taught that God is utterly immutable, that he can't change in any way. But God the Father loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. And Jesus Christ suffered for us. He became sin. He became a curse for us, as Paul writes. And so that was different. God the Father had never before poured out his wrath on the son. And Paul writes that then Christ was justified in the Spirit. So God the Father and God the Son went through so much suffering for us because they love us, but that's not happening today.
But open theism doesn't answer the question of God interacting with man, because that's the context of our discussion. The context of the open theist argument and discussion, and the reason why I believe it's a twist, a heresy
right.
of true Scripture.
Stop the tape. Notice now, Pastor Ed Taylor of Calvary Chapel Aurora, he's more comfortable switching the subject matter to mankind. And what we have done at Denver Bible Church, at Bob and Yart Live, is that we've taken the standard open theism position and we have refocused it within the Godhead, showing typically what happens is that Christians who are open theists will say God made us as free will agents. And I don't like free will because that's the only kind of will there is. So God made us with a will. And so therefore we could make decisions and those decisions will alter the future. Like if you decide not to have a glass of water with your lunch, well, then the future would be somewhat different than if you decided to have a glass of water. So if you forego the water or you take the water, that affects the future. To some level, it'll affect the future, believe me. So what Christians often do is they say, well, you're demeaning God in some way because you think you have to define God based on man's freedom. And so we've taken that and refocused the open theism defense to say, sure, we'd be happy to talk about mankind, but let's just talk about God and his freedom. You guys think it's demeaning to God to make way for man's freedom. So let's then just talk about God's freedom. and God's ability, God's capability? Is God able to make a decision that can affect the future? Now, we talked all through this in Battle Royale 10 with Dr. Samuel Lamerson. He's the professor of New Testament at D. James Kennedy Seminary in Florida, Knox Theological Seminary. And it was shocking. We sell the debate. It's about 250 pages. People could read it online for free. Just go to our website, kgov.com, snoop around, find in Bob's writings on open theism. And so the answer that Dr. Lamerson gave as to why God cannot change the future was startling. It was startling, and he clung to this answer. This is what he said. If God could change the future, how do we know that we could trust him? How do we know that he wouldn't turn against us? When he says he will save us, when he says he loves us and he will save us and give us eternal life, how do we know if God is able to make decisions and affect the future, how do we know that he'll be true to that? And I was stunned. Now, he's not just any Calvinist. He's a five-point Calvinist professor, Dr. Samuel Lamerson, at one of the neatest Christian ministries in the country, Dr. D. James Kennedy in Florida. We went there to meet with him twice. Three times. I lost track. He was on the show before we started the debate. We did a 250-page debate, and his argument was that God doesn't have the ability to change the future, and if he did, how do we know he wouldn't turn on us? And we were so devastated by that, and we said, Dr. Lamerson, we know that he would not turn on us. We know he wouldn't turn on us because he's good and he's loving. And he's true to his word. He is a faithful God. That's what the Bible teaches. All those things the Bible teaches from beginning to end. The Bible doesn't teach that if God had the freedom or the ability to change the future, then he would turn against us or he would deny himself. It doesn't teach that. So we refocus the debate. Instead of primarily on man's freedom and man's ability, we've refocused the open theism defense to the Trinity and to within the Godhead. Does God the Father and God the Son relate? Do they interact? And does God have the freedom and the ability to make decisions that affect the future? Can God write a new song that is truly new? Can he come up with a new melody? And Arminians say no, because the future is eternally settled. And so do the Calvinists. And both those are named after human beings. Open theism is named after God's attribute that God is free and able. Let's go back to the tape with Pastor Ed Taylor of Calvary Chapel, Aurora.
Here's the question.
Yeah.
From the nature of God, is he or is he not omniscient?
Omniscient to know everything.
Correct.
God says that
simple understanding.
Right. God says he will forget our sins. He will remember them no more. God is not a machine or a bureaucrat or a tape drive. God is a person. So if God wants to keep track of, say, every flush that ever happened in every men's room in all the world, he could, but he doesn't have to because he's not a bureaucrat. And if he wants to take a child pornography video and someday put it out of his mind, God is God. He's not a machine. So
that's
he's
a good
able
answer,
to.
But it doesn't answer the question.
Yeah, it does.
Is he
because
omniscient or is he not?
No, God does not have to keep track in his mind.
So he learns things.
When Jesus Christ said that if I will, I could call upon my Father to bring more than 12 legions of angels to save me from the cross, was that true? And of course I believe you think you believe it was true. I believe it was true. God has a will. He's not a machine.
I realize that.
He's not caught in fate. It's like the future's
You're not
settled so that Jesus had no choice.
You and I agree on that.
But Jesus went to the cross willingly.
I agree.
It's not that he had no choice how to design the Garden of Eden. If the future is settled, eternally settled, then God is stuck in that fate also.
But see, I just think that the answer to the presupposition you come with, that eternity is not settled, the answer is not open theism.
Well, open theism asserts fundamentally that God is free and that God is able, and that God has a relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
You're actually adding a different twist to this, because because the fundamental understanding of open theism isn't that God is free.
Oh, yeah.
That humans are free.
No, because the open theist movement. Stop the tape. Okay. Now, it's true in a sense. In a sense, it's the strategy. We are not changing open theism itself. This is what open theism asserts, that the future doesn't exist, right? People say God knows the number of hairs on your head. That's true. That's present knowledge. But does God know the number of hairs on the boogeyman's head? Okay, how many hairs are on the boogeyman's head? Well, the boogeyman doesn't exist. And so the number of hairs on the boogeyman's head is undefined. It's unknowable. Does God know the Easter Bunny's favorite color? Does he know it? It's undefined. Does God know how to tell someone to worship the devil for all of eternity and be righteous? Does God know that? No, because that's irrational. It's unknowable. So with the future being non-existent, the future doesn't exist. So future actions are unknowable. To the extent that they are plans and plans by reliable actors, then those plans are knowable. When God says, when God declares from the beginning that he will have the victory, God declares the end from the beginning, that he will have the victory over his enemies. Now, so God knows that because he's a reliable actor and he's stronger and wiser than all those arrayed against him. Now, the woman who called into Pastor Ed's show, she misquoted a Bible verse, and it is the most commonly misquoted Bible verse there is. She said that God knows the end from the beginning. God knows the end from the beginning, and that's misquoted. What Isaiah actually writes is that God declares the end from the beginning, so that in the beginning, God declares, if anyone rebels against me, I will have the victory. He does. He declares the end game. Like if somebody says, hey, the Colts are going to win the Super Bowl. Okay. Well, that'd be a guess for us, right? But when God is talking about his battle against the wicked, he is highly confident. He knows that he is able to defeat his enemies. Okay, so let's go back to hear the rest of this. Has been gaining most ground by asserting God's freedom, that God is free to interact as he chooses. He's not stuck. It was the ancient Greeks thought Zeus and the gods were stuck in fate, that they couldn't change fate.
So let's step back a second. And so would you yes or no agree that God's omniscient?
No, God.
Okay, number two, God learn things?
Yeah, God said, now I know. Pastor Ed, I heard you say that what God meant was Abraham, now you know. But, of course, God could have said, Abraham, now you know. But God said, in the most important chapter in the Old Testament, God said, now I know that you fear me.
Bob, do you really believe he did not have the knowledge of what Abraham was going to do?
That is why God said.
Do you really believe?
Yes, Pastor Ed. I believe what Moses wrote.
We're coming up on a break, yeah. So I just want to be clear here. Do you really believe that all of salvation and all of the plan of salvation hinged on Abraham's decision?
No, God would have saved us regardless of Abraham's obedience, but I believe what Moses wrote, that God said, now I know that you fear me.
And you don't think he was describing it with anthropomorphic type of language?
No, if so, then you'd have to give an example. Like when the Bible says God's hands can save us,
Yeah. That's
a figure that means he's able to save us.
Right.
When God says, now I know, that's not a figure, that's not a metaphor. What would it mean? I doesn't mean Abraham. When God says, now I know, God is telling us what he means. What does the metaphor mean? If it's a figure of speech, it has no meaning. And that's why God waited until Abraham lifted the knife to slay his son. And it showed that God wanted to bond with Abraham, because eventually God would offer his son on that same Mount Moriah.
Well, thank you, Bob, for calling. You're coming up on the break.
Thank you, Pastor.
Okay, God bless you. Listen to the Diverse Christian Station 94.7.
Okay, now I much appreciate that God bless you, and that doesn't mean that my theology is correct. Your theology could still be incorrect and someone say, God bless you. But can we hear that very first 10-second quote again?
I'll walk you through it.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me start you from the beginning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The person you were listening to on the radio today, never listen to them again.
That'd be me, Bob Enyart.
Well, I turned it off.
Good for you.
Good for you. Ouch. That's just a little painful. Okay, let's go to the phones. In Aurora, Colorado, Keisha, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Thank you. I'm just kind of a little confused about, I understand that the future isn't settled and God can change whenever he decide whatever he wants. But in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 5, it says that God knows our thoughts.
Right.
Every one of them. And so.
Right. Very good, Keisha. And what you've done, you illustrated an argument that Dr. Lamerson continually made throughout 250 pages. His belief, just like Arminians, he believes that the future is eternally settled and that God has exhaustive foreknowledge. God knows the entire future. So if the Bible teaches that, he should quote from the Bible to show us where God is saying he knows eternity future, every detail, everything that will ever happen. Over and over again, you know what kind of argument he made? The argument you just made, Keisha, which is that God knew things that were happening right now, presently, present knowledge. God made us. He made our brains and our soul spirit, so he knows intimately how we think. And if you want to think of it in those terms, God is a mind reader. He could see in your heart and your soul. He judges the heart. He knows what we're thinking. So to know what someone is thinking doesn't then mean that in a billion years from now, God cannot write a new song. God could write a new song. And the fact that he can count how many hairs are on our head, or that he could know the thoughts we have in our minds, that doesn't mean that God is trapped in an eternally settled future. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
The verse you quoted in Ezekiel 11, does it say that God knows every future thought you will ever have? Or does it say that God knows your thoughts?
It says God knows your thoughts.
Right. God knows your thoughts. God knows your prayers. Before they get to your lips, God knows them. That's because we know that your lips are controlled by nerves, and you have a thought, and the thought occurs in your soul spirit. It's interfaced to your brain. So when you decide what to say, then your brain sends an impulse to your mouth and you say it. Now, some people are wired differently, and they say things before they actually think, and they get into all kinds of trouble. But for most human beings, we have a thought, and then the thought comes out of our mouth. Now, extroverts, they speak a lot quicker than introverts. Introverts are more responsible in that respect. They actually think of what they're going to say. Extroverts just blurt out stuff. But even for an extrovert, the thought begins in our soul spirit. It's interfaced to our brain, and it comes out our mouth. You know, let's say it's a millisecond later. So God doesn't say that I know everything you will ever say through eternity future. God doesn't say that. He says, I know your thoughts. I know what you're going to pray even before it comes out of your mouth because I intimately know you. I know how many hairs are on your head. You know how many Christians will try to refute open theism and they'll say, God knows how many hairs are on your head. What does that have to do with anything? I'll take that supersized. I mean, what is it talking about? So, Keisha, anything else?
No.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-836-9278. Now, maybe I could cheat and let you guys know how I'm going to start the seminar. I'm going to play a couple of the clips we just heard at the seminar, but also I'm going to play some clips from a conference call last Friday night. There was a Bible study forum in Lansing, Michigan, run by John Mangopoulos. He's been a TV talk show host in Michigan for 15 years or so. And he had Christians there who are Arminians, and they were really against open theism. So I asked them a couple questions, and they've been debating this topic for some time. I asked them, did God do anything before creation? They were very hesitant to answer that question because they're afraid to admit that God actually does things apart from the creation. Because if God does things, then they're sequential. And I asked them, can God write a new song? Could he compose a new song? And they answered, no. Hey, that took guts, but that's Arminianism. Let's go, and Calvinism. Let's go to Denver, Colorado. Robert, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob, I'm listening to your discussion. Very interesting. One of the questions that always comes up when this discussion goes on is, then do you see the book of Revelation, thousand-year reign of Christ, things
yes.
like that, do you see that all being fulfilled, or can that be changed?
I believe it will be fulfilled as a general framework, but Jesus Christ said that the end days, the last days, the tribulation, he said those days will be shortened because God is a merciful God. And the Apostle Peter wrote that we could hasten the coming of the Lord. And Jesus taught the 12 apostles that he would return soon. And in the book of Acts and the epistles, we find out that they believed he would return soon. So the timing of Christ's second coming is, as so many prophecies in the Bible, God said to Nineveh through the prophet Jonah, 40 days in Nineveh will be destroyed. And then after 40 days, Jonah 3:10, God repented and he did not do that which he said he would do. Why? Because God interacts with his creatures. He's relational, and he acknowledged that they repented, and he's merciful. So God is planning a seven-year horrendous tribulation, but God said through Jesus Christ, Jesus is God the Son, that those days will be shortened. And the Apostle Peter wrote in his epistles, he wrote that we can hasten the coming of the Lord. So the way we behave on earth has eternal consequences. Robert, do you think that if a parent is Christian in the way he raises his kids, that he increases the chances that his children will grow to honor God?
Well, yeah, the Old Testament says to do that.
Well, that's true, and God hasn't changed in his fundamental righteousness between the Old and New Testament.
The way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Robert, even that is a figure of speech. That's a figure of speech, right? Because parents could raise six kids identically, and three could love God and three could hate God. That's because we have a will. And God made Adam and Eve, and they turned against him. And there's some pretty neat dads in the Bible who had some bad sons, and vice versa.
That's very true.
Yeah. Hey, thank you so much for your call.
Okay.
Appreciate that. This is called open theism, that God is free and able to change the future. So imagine that these well-studied Christians in Lansing, Michigan, in this conference call, and I asked them, now they've been in the debate for a long time, so they've been thinking it through. They know the ramifications. And if the future is eternally settled to God, then there could be no new thought to God. He cannot create a new design. He can't compose a new melody. So I asked, in the middle of this debate, about 10 of us, I asked the spokesman for the other side, can God write a new song? And he took a deep breath, and he said, no. Whoa. And they told us that they loathed that argument. And we said, we're not surprised. Of course you would, because that's where your theology is boxing you and limiting God.
Hey, it's Dominic Inyart. Join us here tomorrow for the Dominic Inyart Show, and join us Sunday, 9:30 at Agape Kingdom Fellowship.